If you decided to chase that rabbit down that rabbit hole, found our link, and press play, then yes, you have found your destination. And that destination is the Raw Gypsy Not Quite Hippie Podcast. You know, everyone has a story. We all do. And unfortunately, these days, everyone needs healing, whether it be physically, mentally, spiritually. We all do. Thankfully, God has given us this miracle called the human anatomy, the human body. And if we fill it full of optimum fuel, it will run at an optimum level. Sometimes we just have to remember that, get out of its way, and let it heal. It's absolutely miraculous what this thing can do. Today I get to interview a young lady by the name of Kristen Mock. For those of you on social media, you may know her as Nurse Kristen. She has spent the better part of her life as in the medical field. She understands what the human body is capable of and has had the opportunity to have her own podcast where she gets to sit down and talk to folks who have healed themselves through nutrition. Stories of Self-Healing is the name of her podcast, and it's an absolute treasure. She has some absolutely wonderful, wonderful guests on her podcast. Some by the name of Brooke Goldner, Josh Lajani, Eric O'Gray, High Carb Hannah, and amongst many others. But, you know, today's about her. Today's about Kristen Mock and how she got to where she is, what caused her to turn over a new leaf and change over to a plant-based lifestyle, why she keeps it, and how she's helping folks along the way to make those changes as well. I know her and her husband Adam helped Angie and I out when we first began. She was one of the first people that we reached out to, and she put us on a plant-based diet or a plant-based program. It was a 4-week program, and it was a lot of fun. It was an absolute treasure to get to meet her. We consider her a friend now. So let's invite her in, set her down, give her a chat, and see what makes this young lady click. So let's invite Kristen in. Well, welcome everyone. I have Miss Kristen Mock of Ask Nurse Kristen in the house. How in the world are you, darling?
I am so good, and I actually really appreciate that you say my last name correctly. Not many people do that, so thank you for knowing how to say Mock.
You're very welcome. I do a little bit of studying on people, so I like to try to get those things right, only because my name is brutalized daily.
I actually don't know how to say your last name, so I totally believe that.
Okay, well, I'll make it simple for you. It's really easy. B-Y-A-R is Byer, and then the G-E-O-N is pronounced like Z-H-I-O-N, Jean. So it's Byer Jean.
Byer Jean.
Byer Jean, that's it.
Awesome.
It's perfect. Perfect. Well, before we get started, we are going to have a little thing called the hot seat, and that's where I get to ask you 4 questions. And those are just 4 random questions, and all that I ask is that you answer them as quickly as possible, right off the top of your noggin.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Your first vehicle that you ever owned, and how old were you when you got it?
I had a Pontiac Sunbird, and I was given that car when I was 16-year-old.
Oh, a Pontiac Sunbird. What color was your Pontiac Sunbird?
It was white. It was a white convertible Pontiac Sunbird.
Oh, wow. Ours was, we had a Pontiac Sunbird as well. And it was black and gold. And I absolutely loved that car. I thought that was one of the coolest looking cars when it first came out. The only problem is that it had the one headlight that was lifting up and one headlight that was closed. And it looked like it was winking at you. Did you have that issue too?
I only did because the very first time I drove after getting my license, I crashed the car. So I'm a parent's worst nightmare in that aspect, and I crashed the car, and ever since then, it definitely had headlights that went different directions, as well as a bumper that looked like it was smiling at you.
Aww.
So it was a really cute little car after that.
It had character. Did you give it a name?
I didn't.
You didn't.
I didn't. I just called it the Sunbird.
The Sunbird. That's a good name. That's a great name.
Yeah.
All right. Number two. What is the one item on your bucket list that you have not done yet that you most want to do?
Currently, the one thing that I most want to do is I want to go to Banff, Canada. I want to do a hiking trip in that park.
Banff? Can you spell that? I've never heard of it.
B-A-N-F-F.
Oh, Banff. Oh, okay. Okay. I have to look that one up. For sure.
Yes.
I bet it's beautiful.
It is very, I mean, I've never been there, but one of my favorite things to do is to go to mountains and hike to lakes that are high up in mountains. And that park has some just what appear to be gorgeous lakes. And so that is something that I really want to do.
Oh, yeah. 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 Lakes in the mountains are absolutely stunning. Angie and I wanted to go, I don't know if you've ever been, but we wanted to go to the Hanging Lake Trail or to Hanging Lake in Colorado, just outside of Glenwood Springs. Have you ever been to that one?
I have been there. And for people who are listening, if you go there, I recommend you go early. Otherwise, you'll have to park really far away. I think I had to park about 2 miles away just in order to get to the trailhead.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we've tried twice. And the first time we went, we had our dogs with us, and we found out we couldn't take our dogs, so we had to turn around and leave. And the second time we went, we didn't get there in time, and we couldn't find a parking spot. So we just kind of gave up and just never had another opportunity to go, and I really, really regret it.
Yeah, it is absolutely stunning.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, number three, past or present, dead or alive, name one person that you would love to have a sit down, a visit with, and have an adult beverage with.
So, I know this is a plant-based podcast, and for me, somebody that was really important in me going plant-based was Rich Roll, just listening to his podcast. So, I would say that person would be Rich Roll. I don't know him personally, but I do know he wouldn't have an adult beverage, so he would not be doing that, but I would love to sit down with him and have a nice cup of tea and just really pick his brain.
Or the Four Sigmatic Mushroom.
Yes.
Yes. I heard that on his podcast, and so I had to try it out. And I must say, the hot cocoa is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You know, that's where I first learned about those mushroom blends as well. And I actually haven't done, maybe I've done one of the hot cocos, but I really like the reishi and the lion's mane blends. Like, those are what I drink on a regular basis.
The reishi is what I had last night with it's in the cacao, the hot cacao. It's a reishi mushroom in there. And I'm going to tell you what, it will relax you. I did not want to wake up this morning. I did not. So it worked. I just maybe drank it a little too late. Number four is a would you rather question. Would you rather be able to run 100 miles per hour or fly 20 miles per hour?
I'd rather fly 20 miles per hour. I like that bird's eye view. You get to see things that you otherwise are never able to see.
Yes, that is true. That is true. But I just thought maybe as much as you like to run, you would like to run 100 miles an hour, but that's okay. Flying is cool too. Don't get me wrong. It's,
you know, and I'm slow. So, you know, if I was able to go 100 miles per hour, that might be really cool.
But, oh my God, you're too funny. I don't think you're slow. If you're running, you're running. You're running faster than most people can and most people walking. So that's okay. That's good.
There you go. I'll take that.
All right. Well, that's the hot seat, young lady. And you passed. You get an A.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding. All right. Well, so for those of you that are listening and that don't know, Kristen and her husband, Adam, are known as the globe-trotting duo around many social media circles. And so with that being said, where are you guys? Where have you globetrotted to today?
So we are currently in Boise, Idaho.
Mm. Is it beautiful?
It is very beautiful. Boise is a really fun city. It's like many cities in the U.S. right now where it's just booming with population. But it's the largest city in Idaho, and it feels like a really big small town, which is something that I really enjoy about it. And the mountains are right there. We have... Oh, yeah. trails into the foothills right out of our backyard, and I absolutely love that about it.
Those pictures that you took over the weekend for your birthday. Oh, happy birthday, by the way. Belated
Thank
birthday.
You.
Happy birthday. Those pictures that you took, was that of that area?
So that area is Stanley, Idaho, and that is about 2.5 hours north of Boise. And Stanley, Idaho is a really special place. It's where the Sawtooth Mountain Range is, which is like a really jagged kind of badass looking mountain range. Mm-hmm. And that town in particular, Idaho has protected. So nothing new can be built there.
Wow.
It's a small town. There's nothing that's multiple stories. It just kind of looks like something out of like a Western movie in a way. It's a remote small area and it's very beautiful.
Well, I'll give your page and Instagram and Facebook where they can, who want to follow you can see these pictures. These are some of the most beautiful mountains and the lakes I have ever seen. And I'm assuming you took the pictures with your cell phone?
Yeah. I have a Google Pixel. Those are cell phone pictures.
My gosh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful. What's the temperature there?
In this part of Idaho in July and August, it is 95 and sunny every single day. It never really gets below 70 degrees, but it's a dry heat. So it's hot for a few hours every day and then it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Now when you guys travel around, do you guys stay at, people's houses or do you check into bed and breakfast? Or how do you do the living arrangements when you go out of town?
Yeah. So, I mean, just maybe like a little bit of back history for people. My husband and I have been traveling since 2013, December of 2013. And so what we've usually been doing is living in some place for 3 to 4 months and then moving someplace else. But we use Airbnb. Airbnb is our home.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Perfect. Well, you know, I live in an RV, so I'm not too far from you almost have a little gypsy blood in you too. So
yeah,
that's awesome. That's so good. That's so good. Well, good deal. You're I just want to get this out of the way first, a little back history between you and I. When Angie and I first got started doing our vegan lifestyle, which was, 3 years ago, we were baby vegans and really didn't know what we were doing. I moved along a little faster because I started a little earlier, but Angie was moving along a little slower because she started a little late, and she had quite a few more medical issues than I did with blood pressure and she had some issues with her liver and stuff like that. So I had a mutual friend who had reached out to me and said, "Hey, have you heard of this lady named Kristen Mock?" And I said, "No, I haven't." And she told me, said her name is Sandy Stiles. And she said, "Oh yeah, she's great. You got to check her out. She's got a podcast and she's on Instagram. Here, I'll send you a link." So she sent me the link. I found Kristen, started following her, and started messaging you and listening to your podcast. And you were so gracious to respond back. You had a program that was, I believe, a 4-week program where you did some consultations and one-on-ones, phone calls, things like that. And it helped us so much. You were the first person, not only were you the first person that I had ever heard a podcast on, but you were also the first person in the vegan community that reached out to us. And that just means the world to me. Absolutely the world. And I know it does to Angie as well. So I just wanted to thank you for that, first of all.
Well, and this is just a really beautiful circle too, because that means so much to me to hear that that's what your experience was. And I am very grateful that I got to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it really was a good kickoff, because we can talk about this later on in the podcast, but community is so key in the vegan community. If you reach out, they're very helpful and it's very nice. And you were the first one, and I'm absolutely thankful for it. And I believe that you are the catalyst that later led me to get into this podcasting too, because I thought it was so much fun. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your story. You're a nurse, of course, and you have a lot of knowledge in the medical field. And so, yeah, start uh, start at early childhood, if you could, just kind of tell us where you grew up and maybe how your diet was, lifestyle, things like that, and then later on how you got into the nursing field.
Yeah, so I grew up in Minnesota. I grew up in a lake community called Alexandria, Minnesota. So if you are not familiar with that, Minnesota, of course, is the land of 10,000 lakes. There's actually probably like 14,000 lakes, but Alexandria has a chain of 13 lakes. And there's many more lakes that aren't on that chain, but you can literally get on a boat and go to 13 different lakes. And I grew up on a lake, and I had a family cabin 10 minutes down the road on a lake, because my family's motto is you should be able to go to the cabin every day and not just a couple weekends out of the year.
Sure.
So being outside, being on the water, being in nature has always just been really important in my life. As far as, you know, my diet growing up, I mean, I was the youngest of four girls, so it was just whatever is fast and quick and can get the kids fed, which I didn't complain about growing up. I liked that fast and quick food growing up.
Sure.
But like going into nursing, I've worked in healthcare like my whole life. I mean, every single job pretty much I've had has been in a healthcare related field, and in the healthcare industry. And actually in high school, I got a job as a nursing assistant in a nursing home because I knew that was a good paying job. And then I could save up money for my first year of college. And it just so happened I got a job at the nursing home that my grandmother lived in at the time. Mm. And when I got the job there, I requested that I never take care of her because I knew that I would give her more attention than everybody else.
Really? Really?
And I didn't think that was fair. But randomly, her last day of life, I was assigned to her to take care of her. And so I was there holding her hand during her last breath and through those final moments. And it was very vulnerable. And I felt very grateful that somebody allowed me to be there with them when they took that last breath. It's a very important part of life. I just felt grateful to be able to be there. So I definitely knew I wanted to go into nursing. So that's what got me into the nursing field, actually, was that experience.
Wow. I was there with my mother. She was in a coma for 2 weeks and before she passed, and I left, kissed her on the cheek. I left, and my sister called me the next morning and said she passed. And it was one of the worst things that I kicked myself over for not being there. And we were there every night. Angie and I stayed there every night. So to not be able to be there when that happens is very hard. But the fact that you were able to do that with your grandmother is absolutely precious. Did she know that you were there? Was she cognizant?
She wasn't. And that's so interesting that you say that too, because I mean, my mother and her two sisters were by her bedside all day. And it was when I asked them to leave so I could check her blood pressure and temperature that she actually allowed herself to go. And I feel like that's something common with people when they're just hanging on.
Sure.
At least in my experience in working with, you know, palliative care and hospice care, people will just hang on until their loved ones leave so they can die in peace and not in front of them. If that makes sense, but it's kind of like a common thing that happens.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I never thought of it that way. I don't mean to turn this by any means to me. I had never had someone explain it to me that way, that could possibly have been the reason.
I sometimes would even ask family members to leave because you knew that somebody was just ready to go. And once you would ask them to leave, then they finally would.
I never thought of that. Wow.
It's a very private, vulnerable moment in life.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you that you shed some light on that, because I honestly had never thought of it. And I beat myself up 100 times, you know, thinking about it. But that kind of puts things into perspective a little bit. And it kind of heals my heart a little bit, I think. So if that is the case, and I have no reason to believe why it shouldn't be, I'm truly thankful. Thank you for it. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Okay, so.
A podcast, right? Things just come out and you don't expect it to happen.
I wasn't expecting that. Thank you so much. So you started your life as a nurse, and let's go back to your schooling. Did you have much in the way of nutrition during schooling?
I mean, definitely not. I took a nutrition class as a prerequisite. It was an elective prerequisite for my nursing program. Mm-hmm. But once I was in it, I didn't. And I did a 2-year, it's interesting, I actually did an LPN certification, then I did a 2-year RN, and then I went back for a bachelor's degree. So I did a lot of different types of nursing training, and there wasn't any nutrition in any of those.
I have a little bit of a medical background as well. I was a medical assistant in Tennessee. So I was a phlebotomist and EKG tech and could do trach care and things like that. And I remember, nutrition was very, very limited. It was almost like it was just if they were on at the end stages, you know, how to take care of the nutrition needs at the end stages. And so it was very, very little there as well.
Yeah. I don't really know what to say about it, but that's just how it is.
It's scary. It's very scary, mm-hmm. especially when the number one cause of, chronic illness and death is heart disease and it's diabetes and high blood pressure and cancer even, some forms of cancer are diet or environmentally induced. And it's just, it just isn't even taught.
You know, there's people that are encouraging though, when it comes to that, and I don't mean to veer off topic, but I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Sarai Stancic and her documentary Code Blue that's coming out. But she, I don't believe it's been released yet, or if it has, it's just been released. And it's really about this plant-based physician who has herself overcome multiple sclerosis. And she is really trying to bring nutrition education into residency programs, and is trying to teach residents about nutrition while they're going through that, those early years of medical school. So there's hope. hope out there.
Oh, there's no doubt. There is no doubt. But it's just, in the grand scheme or in the,
right.
the real, medical field, it is very, very limited. And even, most doctors, unless they really turn their eye onto it, it's difficult. But I think it's coming around. I think you're right. More and more are coming around. Absolutely. Did you, when you started in your nursing field, what was your diet like then? I mean, you weren't plant-based then, were you?
Definitely not. I was not plant-based. I was always interested in eating healthy. I just didn't know what eating healthy was at that time. I definitely followed, a typical low-carb diet for many years. It didn't help my health, but I really thought it made me look good. So I followed it probably for longer than I should have. Hmm. Interestingly enough too, my first job, well, the hospital that I worked in for a long time was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it had a McDonald's in it.
Inside the hospital,
yeah. And man, that was a hop in McDonald's, because it was definitely in a neighborhood that was a food desert. So there weren't any grocery stores in the neighborhood. The only neighborhoods around there were kind of your off-brand corner marketplaces that sold the rotisserie hot dogs and just a bunch of frozen food and rotten produce. And there weren't really many chain fast food places in that neighborhood either. It was really kind of a inner city food desert. So that McDonald's was hopping. And so it was a lot of neighborhood people and people in hospital gowns with their IV pole, and that's what you would see in line.
Wow. And so you said you thought you ate relatively healthy. Did you eat was it like a keto diet, a paleo diet, or Atkins, or what, one of those?
Eat more of like an Atkins style diet. Yeah, just the really high animal proteins. I didn't eat any fruit, beans. I try to stay away from grains. I'd pretty much do like broccoli and asparagus and greens. And I thought that was really healthy, even though I felt terrible doing it. I thought it was healthy.
Did you notice anything when you're eating this way? Were you working out at the time? Were you trying to lose weight or something? Or is this just normally how you normally eat?
No. So, I mean, I think it really kind of all started. Once I got engaged, I was going to get married on a beach. And so I wanted to look really good for my wedding photos. It's probably a common story for many women. And so I started going to a personal trainer and she put me on a low carb diet. So I had 100 grams of carbohydrates that I could have in a day. And so it was just trying to figure out what can I eat that will, you know, be within 100 grams of carbohydrates. And so that's pretty much what dictated it. And my body really did transform. I all of a sudden had visible muscles for the very first time in my entire life. So I thought it was healthy, but at the same time had developed IBS. So even though I might have looked healthy internally, I wasn't healthy, but I still stuck with it because, you know, on the outside I looked good.
Sure, sure. And you're right. It's tough because your muscles, they do respond. There's no doubt that they respond, but unfortunately I've always said that when you eat food, once it gets past your throat, that's when all the damage is done, you know, or the good is done. And so, you know, it's great in your mouth, but once it gets past your throat and into your stomach, it's all hell from there. It's all good from there. So, and your arteries, they don't have feelings. They don't have nerve endings. In your endothelial linings. And so, yeah, they wreak havoc while you were looking good on the outside, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting too. So like with working at a hospital that had a McDonald's in it, there were different things that happened that just made me think, oh my gosh, diet has to play such a larger role into our health than I'm aware of. And one of them was, yeah, like once the food passes your mouth and into the throat, I remember this patient and like I had to draw their blood multiple times a day. And on one particular day, they went down to McDonald's and had a Big Mac and fries and then came up back to the floor and I had to draw their blood and their blood looked completely different.
Wow.
Than all of the other times that I had drawn it. And I don't know if you ever watched the show, The Big Fat Truth.
I did watch The Big Fat Truth. Yes.
And they had an episode where they actually had like all of the contestants eating a plant-based meal. And then somebody ate a Big Mac and fries and they drew their blood and showed the differences in how it looked. And now like looking back on the experience, I was like, oh my gosh, that's parallel.
And it's just that quick. How long were we talking since they ate?
Like 20 minutes, a half hour.
Oh my gosh. And that stuff is just floating around.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Holy smokes. So you got, we'll move forward a little bit. So you, you're in the nursing field and you're eating this paleo or Atkins type diet. You're losing weight. You're looking good. So what brought you to the plant-based diet? How did that happen?
So, I mean, it was probably a couple of years after that. So, I mean, I had been working as a hospital nurse and, luckily I married a man who had a dream of traveling like I did. And so we decided to quit our jobs and start traveling the world. And it was amazing, but I will say that one of the negatives to that lifestyle for me personally, not, I can't say this for everybody who decides to do that kind of lifestyle, was I was in perpetual tourist mode. So I was constantly like, I wanted to experience the culinary culture in every city and country and stuff that we were living in. So I was going out to eat pretty much for every single meal for about a year. And my body did not respond well. And I gained quite a bit of weight and I was feeling really sluggish and just kind of miserable. And I came back to the States for Christmas and a friend of mine had gone vegan and he was talking about being vegan. And it's funny because, you know, it's interesting like how you'll justify things in your head. I knew that eating a lot of vegetables was super healthy, but the idea of not having animal protein, I thought was unhealthy. And so I was just like, yeah, whatever, you're vegan, who really cares? And so he challenged my husband and I to take the Veganuary challenge. And for people that are listening that aren't familiar with it, it's going vegan for the month of January. Mm-hmm. And I love challenges. He challenged me to something and I'm like, heck yeah, I can do that. And so I was like, all right, I'll do it. And honestly, like even just hearing eating vegetables, like my body was like, yes, you need to stop eating bacon and cheese, like eat a head of broccoli for a day. So I was all for it. And yeah, a few days later we did the Veganuary challenge, and that's what prompted the whole plant-based thing. It was just a challenge that I had no intention of sticking with. Mm-hmm. I was going to do it for the month and then go back to eating the way that I thought was right to eat.
And that was during the month of January, so which is perfect for a New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm. Perfect month. And so you did it for a month. Was it as horrible? Every time I picture somebody who has, you know, eaten the standard American diet for a while, and they're told that they have to get, you know, they have to eat vegetables. Have you ever seen the meme or maybe the little commercial where the woman's trying to eat the pea and she keeps gagging every time she touches it? Was it that bad?
Not at all. And no, not at all. And interestingly enough, I have never been somebody who is really happy about eating meat. Even as a kid, like when the family would grill hamburgers, I was like, oh, I don't want to have to eat a hamburger. Or we'd go through the McDonald's drive-thru and I was like, I don't want to eat a hamburger. Like I never really enjoyed meat, but I thought it was healthy and you were supposed to. So doing this challenge it made me feel so good. I think I was finally doing what my body wanted me to do, but I was just never allowing it to do that. Awesome. So for me, it happened very easily and naturally, which is probably very uncommon for a lot of people that do this. I think it's probably difficult for a lot of people that make this transition. But for me, it was very easy and very natural.
Sure. So 31 days. January has 31 days in it, young lady. So how did you feel after 31 days?
Amazing. You know, I had a lot of those common things that people say happens to them after going plant-based that really aren't measurable, but I felt like I had more energy, more mental clarity. I felt more focused. I just felt centered. I felt really good.
What year was this again?
That would have been 2016.
2016. I went plant-based in 2016 as well, April of 2016. So we're about the same vegan age. You're a little older than me, but that's okay. I'm
our same age.
Yeah. It's all good. So you went 31 days. You're feeling good. You're feeling great. So what happened? I've heard your story before, and I know you went and treated yourself. So you rewarded yourself. How did that go?
Yeah. So the whole idea was, we were going to do this Veganuary challenge, and then we were going to reward ourselves to a veggie cheese pizza, because I said I never really liked meat, so I was like, we'll just, you know, go back to the dairy then. So we were traveling at the time, so at that point we were living in Eureka, California, and there was a pizza place that everybody said was so good, and I wanted to go there, so we went there, and we got like an extra large pizza. This thing was the most massive pizza I think I'd ever seen. Oh my God. And my husband and I ordered it, the two of us, and we each had one piece, and we were like, what the heck are we gonna do with this pizza? Because we both just felt gross. I felt so gross after eating it, and I was like, if I feel this gross after eating one piece of this pizza, why would I go back to eating this way again?
Sure.
Yeah. So we did another month challenge.
You did another month. And February is a little shorter. You went through February, or did you skip a month, or I mean, you went the next month?
Nope. I mean, after eating one piece of that thing, I was like, all right, we're going right back to it. We're going to do another month challenge. And then when we get done with this next month, we'll go out for macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
Because there was a really good soul food restaurant in town, and everybody just raved about their macaroni and cheese.
Did you find that your taste buds changed, or was it just the consistency or the grease, or what was it that bothers you?
Yeah, definitely the taste buds changed. It tasted really salty. It tasted really greasy. And this might sound weird, but like I felt like I could just almost feel it in me initially.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could just feel that grease going into my body. I don't know. It's a really ambiguous thing to try to explain, but I hated the feeling altogether.
No, I agree. I'm with you. It's the same. It's the same for me too. It's you can taste the grease, especially, you know, if we ever go out for something like, and we have the vegan, even the vegan pizzas, they have the diet cheese on them. They're even greasy. And if you
it's, I hate diet cheese,
it's, yeah, I know, but there's some better ones out there, but
yeah,
it's rough. It is absolutely rough. It's but they have some other cheeses that are, you know, that were really good. And I haven't found one that was on a pizza yet that was too great. But even that, it's just that feeling of grease, even if it's plant-based grease oil. When I first started, I was cooking with olive oil and I didn't know any better. And, yeah, you can just feel it in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you said that. So you went 2 months and you tried your mac and cheese. It wasn't what you thought it was going to be either, huh?
Nope, it was not what I thought it was going to be. So then I was like, all right, I'm in this. I'm in it for the long haul. Like, there's no way I'm going back.
Awesome. So we'll fast forward then. I'm assuming you, when you were on the road, were you doing nursing then on the road as well, like a PRN nursing or anything like that? Or how did that work out?
I've been doing it remotely. So I do remote case management work. So it's all, I just need an internet connection. I need to be within the U.S. So I'm following HIPAA guidelines, but it's all been remote.
Oh, good. That's awesome. That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you, of course, started your, we've talked about this before, you started your podcast channel, The Stories of Self-Healing, I think is what it's called. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Stories of Self-Healing. Tell us about that. How did you get involved into the podcasting?
So when I did the Veganuary Challenge, starting out with it, I drove from Minnesota to California. And the friend that challenged me to do this said that he had learned about going plant-based from listening to the Ritual podcast. So during that drive, I think it was like 32 hours, something like that, I listened to Ritual the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard of this guy. I didn't know who he was, but he was interviewing people who had extreme health transformations just by changing their diet. This amazed me. It was so incredible. And I just kind of had those classic feelings that you hear people talk about, where they felt like they had been lied to. Why didn't I know this? And I just, once I heard those stories, I just kind of felt it was my duty to interview similar types of people who had these amazing health transformations from just simply changing the foods that they put on their plate and that they buy at the grocery store, and share those stories with the world. I just felt that people needed to hear what can happen by changing the foods that you decide to eat.
Yes, I have. I've listened to Rich Roll as well, and not all of his podcasts are about people changing, you know, stories of self-healing.
Right.
Some of them do, but what I found so fascinating about yours was every story is a story of self-healing. And I found that idea of a podcast was fantastic. Of course, you were the first person that I ever listened to in podcasts. So it was, you know, even looking back now, when I go through podcasts that I listen to now, because I listen to Rich Roll and others, yours was, you know, in a league of its own, you know, even now. And I find that just so fascinating that you took that idea and turned it into that. It's precious. It's precious. And you have some heavy, heavy hitters in there too, young lady. Talk about some of the heavy hitters that you have, and what's the most interesting story of self-healing that you have that you can share?
I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of stories in there. Two of the stories that have just really impacted me, it's interesting because it's the same autoimmune disease, but it's two people who have been able to reverse lupus. And so they are Dr. Brooke Goldner and Joyce Hale. And they are both two women who really experienced some serious side effects from lupus. And they really went through the ringer with that autoimmune disorder, and they have been able to reverse it. And, you know, you're just always taught that it's a disease that's there forever, and you're always going to have lupus markers in your system, and it's never going to go away. And hearing their stories just is so amazing to me. And Joyce Hale alone, anybody listening, if you ever decide to look her up, her lupus was so bad that it was disintegrating the bones in her head. And she actually had to have a jaw transplant. Yep. Part of her jaw had to be removed because it was that bad. And she's now 100% medication free. And that is just so incredible to me that can happen because of the foods that you eat.
Isn't that something? You know, I've told you this before. Dr. Brooke is one of my favorite people on the planet. She is just a godsend. And because she was able to have this disease, and I think she even talks about that she says, you know, why me? What did I do to deserve this? And, but then she looks back and she says, you know, now I know why. I had to go through that so that I could help people. And her story is so amazing. And the fact that she's a doctor is even better. And it's not that, and I don't mean to belittle, you know, chiropractors or anything like that, because they do an incredible job. But Dr. Brooke, I mean, she was an internist, a gastrointestinal doctor, I think is what she went to school for, if I'm not mistaken. So she understands, you know, this stuff very well, and she fought very hard. And the fact that she's able to share this and her stories that she shares with folks are just absolutely stunning. And Joyce, oh yeah, that story was ridiculously amazing. And the fact that you were able to bring it out is just breathtaking.
I mean, there's so many great stories. One person that I can't stop following lately is Tim Kaufman. And I don't know if you know him, but I can't even remember the name of his genetic disease. It's so rare. But basically, the ligaments that keep your joints together,
right,
they're so stretched out that his joints just constantly pop out of place. And so he talks about this, like, he pretty much medicated himself with fentanyl patches and then downing like almost a liter of vodka a night. Mm. And not like over a long period of time, like just to fall asleep, like he would just quick down it just so he could go to sleep. Wow. And it was just not a good quality of life. And then he went plant-based, dropped some weight, the pain has started going away, he's been running marathons, he does amazing things physically, he's physically a really inspirational person to watch. And now, like, he's a teacher, he's come out with his own plant-based burger company, and so, like, he's making all of these, like, truly plant-based burgers for all these different companies in his area. He's just using his experience to positively impact the health of so many people in his community, and that's so inspirational to me.
It is, and I don't remember, I don't know if you remember this either, but I just don't remember cancer or autoimmune disorders like lupus and these others, multiple sclerosis and things like that. I don't remember them being as prevalent as they are now, and it may be because the social media, you know, the information accessibility that we have now. I don't know if that's the reason, but I just don't remember it being that big of an issue. And it seems to be more of an issue now. And the fact that we can change it just by what we eat, you know, Dr. Brooke even says inflammation is the cause of most diseases. And if you stay away from inflammatory foods, you could pretty much, your body will heal itself.
Exactly. Yes.
It will heal itself.
That is right on.
Stories of self-healing. You know, I've heard you this comment or this quote of yours that I absolutely love, and it's, every bite of food you take is either feeding disease or fighting disease. And I just love that. I love that quote.
Yes. Because we're all fighters, right?
We are fighters. We are fighters.
You and I are fighters.
We are fighters. You know, I'm going to go back to my mom for just one second. My mother was in a coma for 2 weeks, and she had no input, no output. And she had pancreatic cancer, by the way, and her system started shutting down, and she went into a coma. Well, she was in this coma for 2 weeks, and everybody that came in would ask me, not in a mean way, but they would say, "What's the deal? Why isn't she passed yet? I mean, what's she holding on to?" And I tell them, I said, "Look, every single cell in our body is fighting to stay alive. It's designed that way." And, you know, and I'm sure you've seen this probably before in the healthcare field too, is if someone is getting close to the end, they put up one last ditch effort, one last hoorah. It's like their cells and everything just kind of come up for one last bite, and then they fade. And that's, you know, we're fighters. We fight to survive.
Yes. I definitely know what you're talking about. And I 100% agree with that.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Well, you know, something else that just fascinates me too. When you were talking about the diets earlier, the Atkins diet and whatnot, there are so many diets out there, so many how-to books. Go to Goodwill. We like to go to the thrift store. Go to the thrift store. This is so funny. Think about this for a second. I don't know if you go to Goodwill or thrift stores, but go to the thrift store and look at the diet books. I mean, there's hundreds of them. But you know what I've never seen? A diet book on vegan or a diet book on plant-based ever. And that tells me that nobody gives it up. You know what I'm saying? They get these diet books and they get rid of them. But either that or nobody's buying vegan diet books. I don't think that's true, but I just find that fascinating.
That's funny. So that's super funny. I don't go to like Goodwill and stuff very often, but a few months ago, I went to a used bookstore here in Boise, Idaho, and in their cookbook section, I saw the Happy Herbivore cookbook.
Oh, wow.
And so Lindsay Dixon, I don't know if people are familiar with her, but yeah, she's the Happy Herbivore, and you know, she's written for Vegetarian Times and things like that. And I looked through the cookbook, and I think it was probably her first one.
Right.
And there wasn't like a whole lot of recipes in there that I honestly wanted to make, but I just bought it. Just because I was so happy to see it there. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to support this. I'm buying this book right now.
They're never there.
But I'd never seen one before. I was like, oh my gosh, how can I not pick this up?
I've looked, you know, for maybe, you know, Michael Greger's book or just anybody. And
people don't give them up.
No, they don't give them up. They keep them. It's so funny. So what I was getting to is all these how-to diets, all these, you know, the Mediterranean and the, oh my gosh, I can't even think of them all. The paleo, keto, Atkins there. How come the plant-based diets are fringe or are extreme? You know, what do you think is the reason behind that? And these other ones are so prevalent.
Well, I mean, a lot of those other ones too are just kind of repeating each other and just kind of tweaking them a little bit. So it's easier probably to recreate them. And this is, you know, this is my personal opinion too, but I don't think monetizing vegetables is very easy. You know, like you're not going to make a lot of money off of telling people to eat vegetables. For one, they're not subsidized. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get a ton of support. If you're promoting these foods that are not governmentally subsidized. And people who are wanting to go plant-based are trying to remove processed stuff from their diet. So you're going to have a harder time selling people that are trying to go plant-based shakes and powders and pills and things like that, because they're trying to get away from that type of food. So I think that might be one reason why. It's just, it's hard to monetize that type of diet.
Yes, I agree. I think you're right. There's not a lot of money made in health.
Yeah. And if you're spending time on something, I mean, you do have to make some money to be able to spend the time doing it. And so I think that's just kind of one of the burdens. You're not going to make a lot of money from telling somebody to go eat broccoli and, you know, cauliflower.
You know, Kristen, it's so funny. You know, people tell me, they ask me, they say, Trey, you know, what do I do? They're famous things when I tell them this, and their famous response to me is, well, do you have any recipes? Can you send me some recipes? Do you have any ideas? Do you have any tips? I tell them, I say, it's real simple. It's really simple. It's actually the easiest diet on the planet to follow, because all you have to do is you walk into the grocery store, which you're going anyway, you're going to the grocery store. And then you either look to your left or you look to your right, whichever grocery store you're going to. And in that corner over there is this place called the produce aisle. And you just go there and you just buy foods that look good, that look pretty, and you bring them home and you cook them if you're into, you know, if you're cooking. I mean, I eat mostly raw, you know, 90% raw, but just bring them home and eat them and stay away from the, you know, the boxes with the produce, I mean, with the processed foods. It's really simple. And when I tell them that, it's almost like they can't quite comprehend that it's that easy. But I need a recipe. No, you don't. You don't need a recipe. Just calm down. Just eat. We're the only, you know, they say, well, what do you eat for breakfast? What do you eat for lunch? What do you eat for supper? I don't know. I eat all throughout the day. I think we're the only species on the planet that eats by a clock. So I eat when I'm hungry.
And that's funny too. Like, I know different people who have changed the brakes in their cars by Googling it and going on YouTube. I know people who have repaired fridges by going on YouTube and just Googling it. But when it comes to eating, I mean, it's that simple. Just put it into Google and you'll find whatever you're looking for.
I know. It's so funny.
But yeah, like, find a recipe. I went to a little produce stand on Sunday. And so Idaho has a lot of volcanic soil. And I had no idea, but volcanic soil produces some amazing produce. Best sweet corn I've ever had in my entire life. So I go into this little produce stand and I see some sweet corn, potatoes, and an onion. And instantly I was like, I am having corn and potato chowder when I go home tonight. And I know that those are really the only three ingredients that I need. And the rest is just going to be some spices. And I'm 100% set. Like, it's that simple. And those are such dirt cheap ingredients to buy.
It is. That's another thing. They think that, you know, that veganism is a, you know, it's kind of a haughty-taughty, you know, you got to be in a clique. It's expensive. And I tell them, dude, bananas are 49 cents a pound. I mean, really? You can get, I mean, my God, you can get 20 bananas for, you know, for nothing. I mean, for a little of nothing. Or 20 pounds of bananas for like, what, 10 bucks? I mean, it's ridiculous. So, and I think it has a lot to do with some of the highly processed vegan food that's out there, you know, because that can get expensive. It really can.
Definitely it can be.
But yeah, just like you said, corn and some potatoes and some onions and shit, man, you got some chowder. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And it's filling.
It's very filling, yeah.
And your arteries won't get clogged or you know, it's so funny. And I think the whole, I told Angie the other day, I think maybe when somebody says, well, would you send me a recipe? It's almost like it's, yeah, I'll do it later, but I'll do it when you send me a recipe, you know? And like you said, just Google it, look up, you know, vegan recipes and you got it.
Well, and you know, the average person, I have read this before, the average person rotates through about 7 different recipes. And that's kind of what they have like in their recipe box or whatever, you know, they got 7 different wheelhouse recipes that they go to. So if you can supply somebody with 7 different recipes that'll work for like dinner, things like that, you're set.
Sure.
And then, you know, the creativity will flow after that. And that's really all it takes if you want to get started.
That's true.
And find recipes that you currently enjoy and then find a plant-based version of that and you'll be set.
I had somebody ask me the other day, I get bored with eating the same old thing and I don't know what to do. If I eat the same old thing, it's kind of a turn off for me. And I tell them, you know, we as Americans generally eat the same things. We either eat Mexican, Italian, pork chops, hamburgers, and that's about it. And so just, yeah, like you said, just take those versions, veganize them, make them plant-based, and you'll be fine. I think that's definitely the easiest way to do it. That's what we did.
Find some good sauce recipes too. Sure. One of my absolute favorite cookbooks is the Engine 2 cookbook. And a good section of the front of that is just different sauce recipes. And they will say like, have greens take up the majority of your plate. And if you can do that and dump some sauce on there, you're fine.
Well, let me tell you,
you'll be good.
Last night we went to the grocery store. And we found these. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but they were jicama. They were jicama tacos.
Ooh.
Jicama tacos. And they were just big round jicamas that were rolled up, almost looked like taquitos. And inside, half of them had cucumbers, sliced cucumber, and the other one had sliced carrots or shredded carrots. And girl, let me tell you, we opened that rascal up, and Angie's not a big fan of jicama, but, you know, she was going to try it. And we had a little bowl of guacamole, and you dip that in that guacamole, and oh, my dear Lord in heaven, I have found a new love.
So let me kind of flip this for a second, Mr. Vegan Gypsy. Uh-oh. Where are you living right now that you were able to find these jicama tacos?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
Okay, so you've got some amazing vegan food around you there.
I do. I gotta admit, I left Sarasota, Florida, which had absolutely stunning fruit.
Oh my gosh, the raw vegan scene in that area is amazing, which is so unexpected.
It's so awesome. And I tried my first Mame Sapote. I'd never tried one before. That thing was like so good. And let's see, what else did we try that was new? There was one other thing that we tried that was new. It was a fruit that I can't remember. It was a dragon fruit. I think it was dragon fruit that I had not had that was that good before. It was so good. And then we got here to Austin, and the vegan scene is very big in Austin. The raw vegan scene, not so much. But Jicama tacos. And then we went back to the store today and bought some more Jicama rolls or discs so that I can make my own. I can't wait.
Very cool.
Can't wait. So talking about food a little bit here at the end, I have one more thing that I wanted to touch base with you before we finalize it. Everybody has a go-to. You know, when you come home and you just don't feel like doing anything, and you know, you have that go-to meal. What is your go-to of go-tos? What's the number one, and how hard or easy is it to make?
Savory oats would be my go-to. So it is steel-cut oats with a ton of kale, some sun-dried tomatoes, and nutritional yeast, and mushrooms, a bunch of mushrooms.
What?
That is my go-to. I actually have it in my fridge right now. It's simple. It's got all of my favorite foods, and it's super satisfying. And I usually cook it so it's still a little bit liquidy, so it's almost like a soup, because soup is my favorite food in the whole world. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, savory oats would be my go-to.
Savory oats. Do you have a recipe?
That's the way I make it. I don't think I have a recipe on my website for that one.
Where did you come up with this?
I think I first became aware of it from the Engine 2 community, but I've never liked breakfast foods. I've never liked sweet, heavy, like I've never liked that kind of food in the morning. Mm-hmm. I've always been like a savory type of breakfast person. And I've enjoyed oatmeal, but I, again, don't like sweet food. And so once I learned that you could put vegetables in steel cut oats, I got so excited, and it's just been my go-to ever since.
That's
cheap and easy.
That's amazing. And do you soak, I mean, you cook the sun-dried tomatoes in it, and it just absorbs that flavor, I guess, from the sun-dried tomatoes or?
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't soak them first. You just let them cook. Wow. Mm-hmm. And what kind of seasoning?
I put nutritional yeast in there. I like spicy food, so I'll put some Crest red pepper in there.
Wow. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be doggone. I would have never dreamed in a million years to combine oats with kale and
mushrooms.
Well, I put nutritional yeast in anything, but
right?
That stuff makes tennis shoes taste good. Oh, wow. That sounds amazing.
And nutritional yeast is not yeast.
No.
People who are new to listening to this, I had a gal once, and she was making vegan mac and cheese for the first time, and she had like seen me do a video of making vegan mac and cheese with nutritional yeast, and she sent me her end product, and she had bought regular yeast. And she's like, I don't know how you vegans can actually like this stuff. So there's a difference. There is a difference.
Oh, bless her heart.
Regular yeast and nutritional yeast.
Nutritional yeast is the bomb. That stuff is amazing. Amazing. Well, girl, I cannot thank you enough for agreeing to this. Like I said, I've been a big fan of you for a long time. I consider you a friend. You and Adam both. Adam is a wealth of knowledge as well. He's given me some great advice. When we get off, please make sure you tell him I said hello. But I cannot thank you enough. Cannot.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Well, if folks want to come and find you, what are some of your social outlets that they can look you up?
Yes. So on both Facebook and Instagram, I am Nurse Kristen, and Kristen is KRISTIN. And then I have a website that is nursekristen.org.
Awesome.
And on my website, I have, you know, just plant-based recipes and links to my Stories of Self-Healing podcast episodes.
Great. And if they want to find you and Adam doing your little globetrotting adventures, how would they find you there?
Yes, that would be Globetrotting Duo on Instagram.
The Globetrotting Duo. See, you got a little gypsy in y'all. I knew you did.
Definitely.
All right, young lady. Well, I do appreciate you again, and I hope this has been fun. It's been fun for me. So, with that, I bid you adieu, and hope to talk to you again.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Trey.
All right, girl. Peace out. Well, how about that? That was Nurse Kristen. That's Kristen Mark for you. She's a fireball. She's full of energy and passion. And you could tell she loves what she does. You know, Kristen spends most of her time while she travels, reaching out and helping people one-on-one. That still does her nursing, you know, remote, which is a lot of fun. I mean, I honestly wish I had her job. It's a very gratifying job. It's a fun job. You'd be able to travel as much as she does. A lot of fun. Well, anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed the podcast as much as I did interviewing Miss Kristen. And yeah, we'll get to see you on the next one. So with that, everyone, please remember that if you're going to be a statistic, please be a good one. Make good choices, because good choices equal good consequences. All right? All right, everyone. Y'all have a good one, and peace out. Love you.